Let's just welcome you right now to the F1 Funcast.
What's up, everybody?
All right, everybody, welcome back to the F1 Funcast, the original Funcast podcast, and this is another episode of the Driver Deep Dive series. This is something I've been doing where I look into each driver on the grid and kind of take a look into where they come from, how they got there, where they're headed in Formula One, and unfortunately, I feel like it's time to do a driver deep dive for Logan Sargeant, as it seems like the clock might be ticking for Logan, and his time at Williams could be drawing close to an end, which is unfortunate. And that's always the rumor mill. You know, he might come out and impress and really turn things around in a snap and maybe change some minds. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so today we're going to... This might not be as much of a deep dive on Logan Sargeant as it is a bit of a skim and a conversation and just a little, you know, fun facts here and there and discussion about Logan Sargeant. It's unfortunate that the driver deep dives have kind of, my first one was Nyck de Vries, and he wasn't around much longer after that episode. And hearing what I'm hearing and seeing what I'm seeing from Logan Sargeant, I felt like the time was now to learn a little bit more about him before things might change at Williams. And so it's interesting, and I'm looking forward to talking about Logan Sargeant with you all, and thanks for joining me here at the F1 Funcast. And if you want to get in touch with us, please do. It is the email is f1funcast@gmail.com. Get in touch with any of your Formula One questions or comments. This is the podcast for newish Formula One fans. And I just want to say how much fun I've had doing this and how much I'm enjoying and learning. And it's been great. And Connor as well, he wants me to give a shout out and say he's looking forward to being back soon. I'm going to be talking to him in the next couple days. We'll have him back on the pod, and we'll start diving into the 2024 season, which really feels like a fun season is shaping up here, isn't it? And we'll have a lot to talk about over the summer break, which is coming up, unfortunately, and not too long. And 2024 is starting to feel competitive and like a lot of fun. But so far for 2024, it has not been as fun for Logan Sargeant. And that's who we're talking about today. So the driver deep dive on Logan Sargeant, let's do it. Welcome aboard. Let's go. So Sargeant was born on December 31st, New Year's Eve of 2000, making him, he's 23 years old now, he's born in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, making him the only American Formula One driver right now on the grid. And I was curious, so I looked it up, and he was the 58th F1 driver from the States, or the United States, overall, which is just really interesting for me, being from the United States, and thinking about how just from the world I came from, and it was a very traditional football, basketball, baseball type of world where motorsport wasn't even an idea or an option or a thought in my life, to think that there was such highly competitive karting and motorsport. And obviously, I mean, the United States has one of the greatest traditions of motorsport, you know, in the world. But it was something I was so unaware of. So to think there were young kids out there in, like, super competitive go-karting, to me seems like a really foreign idea. And when I say foreign, I guess I truly mean that. Like, it does seem like an overseas thing. And when you read all these other drivers, and I start researching them a little bit overseas, I think, yeah, maybe, you know, karting and racing for some reason seem to go together. But in the U.S., I just didn't realize. So I guess what I'm saying is Sargent started in a couple really competitive karting circuits and is an American. And granted, I was from the Northeast. He was from the South in Florida. So very different, you know, cultures sports-wise. But just fascinating to think that all that time, there was super competitive, super high-end karting, feeder leagues feeding into just the whole world of motorsport, I guess. I didn't realize how much depth there was to it. And, you know, for me, maybe the closest I ever was to competitive karting was the go-kart at the Six Flags, you know, a couple miles down the road, a few miles down the road. Or one time my friend bought a go-kart and let me ride it around the backyard, and I drove it back. I did something to the wheel, and I never got to drive the go-kart again. I'm not sure if it was even back, but it was definitely off kilter when I brought it back to him. It was his brand new, like, birthday or Christmas gift or something like that. And so I guess that's to say I wasn't really plugged into any kind of competitive driving. And but I did. I'm sorry. I still feel bad about that. Bob Boyer, if you're listening to this for some reason, I remember that go-kart. I feel bad that his parents let me take it out, you know, out in this little path they made in the back of the house. And I went out and I took it out, and I was enjoying myself. And I went over this bump, and she never drove right again. And I never saw that go-kart again. I'm sure they kept it, like, you know, parked in the garage away from me when I would come over to play wiffle ball or something. But anyway, that's to say I am fascinated with the world of competitive karting. And here in San Diego, I stopped by a couple times. I haven't driven yet, but I've stopped by the what is it? Not K1, but it's a motor speedway go-karting place. Obviously, it's not F1. You people out there, if anyone's listening to this, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's a higher end karting place, and it was really cool. They had, you know, a bar, food court, big track, races going on every, you know, 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, really something to see. So I'm going to try that. Maybe I'll start dipping my toe in that water, but I don't think I'll ever, who knows, maybe I'll have the pace to win the top prize down at the go-karting and get a free pizza or something. So anyway, Logan Sargent made his way the United States route up into Formula One, and he made his debut last year. If you're listening to this in the future, last year was 2023. It's 2024 right now, and through a season and a third or so out there, he's still got just the one championship point. And it's been a lot of mistakes lately with Logan. And as a newer F1 fan that's learning, though, and knowing what to look for a bit more during qualifying and during the races, Logan Sargent has not been inspiring as much confidence. And perhaps part of the reason could be that Alex Albon is his teammate. And Albon, to me personally, is one of the more, maybe not underrated, drivers in Formula One. I think he's appreciated and people understand his top-end talent. But Alex Albon would be, that's a tough teammate to qualify and race against as a young, more inexperienced driver. Every weekend, you're not going to be looking great compared to your teammate. But still, when you look at Sargent's season so far in 2024, it's like Q2, I think, one time. And that's not to say he's in a top-tier car, but like I say, Alex Albon in the same Williams is much sharper and inspires much more confidence. And if you're building your team, you start looking around saying, well, where do we go next? Where we've got Albon here and we need a second, we need someone. It's much like in a smaller version, the Verstappen and Perez situation at Red Bull. Except Red Bull re-signed Perez because there's nobody that's going to be Verstappen's equal. And you have a teammate that's a known quantity, right? And I suppose it's Williams is looking around thinking the opposite. They're saying this is not the guy we want for the long term. We have our ace, right? I guess what I'm saying is in Red Bull, they have the clear number one. They have the clear ace. And you find the second guy, maybe he's on the team, maybe he's not, but you need that second driver to inspire confidence. And I think Williams feels like they have that ace, right? And unfortunately, I don't think they feel confident enough going forward with Logan Sargeant that he's going to stick around much longer. And that's partly results-based and partly... Well, no, it's mostly results-based when you look at 2 years. Now, I don't have the number in front of me, but of how many points Albon has scored in the past 2 years. Now, you can't expect Sargeant to have those same numbers, but even if you were to have them... You know what? I'm going to take a peek right now. I'm going to see how many points Alex Albon has since the start of the 2023 season. I'll be right back. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's not great. 29 points for Albon since the start of 2023 and just the 1 point for Sargeant. And even, you know, we all remember when Williams had the wreck, Albon had the wreck and still got the chassis, and Sargeant had to sit out the weekend. I forget when it was, a couple races ago now, but it's just so unfortunate to see an experiment gone wrong. There are other drivers that we'll get to in these deep dives that might be experiments that have gone the right way. And the way the winds are blowing for everyone at Williams and on the internet, I hate to use the internet as the source, and it's just the general, you know, you search the driver's name, search the team, just check out what's going on, and it seems to be bracing for an exit. But in the meantime, there's still plenty to share with you about Logan Sargeant and how he found his seat in the first place. And hey, you know what? So this is the Funcast, and getting to a Formula One seat in the first place, you're in rarefied air. That is some serious stuff. That's nothing, you know, few people that walk this earth can say they've done what you've done. It's really nothing to ever feel bad about. And I'm sure Sargeant doesn't feel bad, or he's not going to hang his head and give up or cry like a baby. But someday he will look back and think, wow, I really was an F1 driver. And maybe someday he'll say, wow, I'm really an F1 driver again. Who knows? He's young enough where that future could happen for him like that. So it's just interesting. And something he should hang his head up high, as if he does have to leave Williams, he can feel good about this time and period in his career. But let's get more into the interesting and fun things about Logan Sargeant, because there are plenty of them, I suppose. But, you know, Sargeant seemed to have, from what you can tell by reading so far, he didn't have the direct shot to an F1 seat. He bounced around a little bit, and I know he's so young that it's hard to believe he bounced around that long, but he's not one of these champion at F3, champion at F2, find your seat on Formula One, boom, you know, just A, B, C, D. He was in that minor, I don't know what the technical term, Connor, if he was here, he would kind of help me with a little bit of that, but he was in that minor circuit, the lower circuit, kind of trying to find his footing for a while. But when he did finally break through to F2 and win some races, he got the attention over at Williams. And Williams had a position to fill because Nicholas Latifi had spent 2022 dragging that Williams around racetracks all across the globe. And so they had decided to move on from that interesting debacle. And they looked to Logan Sargeant. And I think it's a good idea when you're a team taking a shot on these younger guys, right? Look at Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris and McLaren. And they just, when it fits and it works and you have a little bit longer future ahead of you and a little bit more energy in the garage and on the paddock, I just, you know, sometimes that inexperience and youthful exuberance can be such a spark, right? And kind of help guys push each other. But then sometimes it doesn't work. And Alex Albon certainly did separate himself since Sargeant has been. I guess this is turning into the Alex Albon as a really good driver and Logan Sargeant who's done the best he could podcast. But that's not what this was meant to be. But I did want to talk about Logan Sargeant, what I've seen in the year and a half he's been up here. And it's a shame. Does anyone else out there think that Williams is knocking on the door of of better change and a bit of a turnaround, maybe not this year or next year, but if they find that second driver and they continue making these steps, it wasn't too many years ago that they were the back marker and a bit of, I wouldn't call any team a laughing stock, but it had been a long time since Williams had found any type of success whatsoever. So now with Albon scoring some points, and I know he's only scored a few points here so far in 2024, I think just a handful. I don't know. I think for the organization, now is the time to make a move. If you have somebody that you'd like to see in that seat, and there are rumors of, and I might be off base again here, but that so Mercedes, and they want to get Antonelli into a seat because they might want him potentially to be ready to take the seat from Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari. So this younger, and some of you might know him, I'm not as familiar, but apparently they have a 17-year-old stud, Kimi Antonelli, who is the next big thing. So maybe trying to get him into that seat, and Williams get him as much experience as possible before the end of the 2024 season is not such a bad idea. But then again, you're going two younger, more inexperienced drivers. However, from the vibe I get, this Antonelli is much more of a, to use a baseball term analogy, a Mookie Betts or a Ronald Acuna type. I just use two injured guys, and if you're listening overseas, you don't even know them, but these younger, sure thing type prospect, where Logan Sargeant was more of a, let's take a shot at it and see if it works. But I root for Williams here at the F1 Funcast. I know Connor does too, and I'm just hoping they get it right if they do move on from Sargeant. Who knows? Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll move on, maybe not. That's a good topic of discussion. What do you think? Email me, f1funcast@gmail.com. Do you think Logan Sargeant sticks around through the summer? Is he out of there at the end of the year? Is he back next year? I just wanted to talk Formula One with you out there, if you're listening to this. I just want to know your thoughts. So email me so I can respond to you at f1funcast@gmail.com. I'm really curious what you think. How long, A, B, or C? A, he's gone by the summer. B, end of the season. C, he's around longer than that. And I feel like I owe Logan Sargeant more of a proper deep dive. So if he sticks around past the end of this year, we'll revisit this. I'll come back around. We'll do a proper Logan Sargeant deep dive. We'll look into his family history, his criminal history. We'll try to get his fingerprints. If his mother was a mother, if his father was a mutter, if you never saw Seinfeld, you don't really get that either. I'm really going to a niche audience here today. But anyway, thanks for checking this out. I'm curious what you think. Logan Sargeant on the chopping block at Williams. Sorry to kind of do a poor deep dive on you, buddy, but had to talk about you now or it might be never. So that's Logan Sargeant, everybody. Email me, f1funcast@gmail.com. Connor's going to be back soon. We've got Barcelona coming up in a week or two. A lot more to talk about. It's been real. As always, we will talk to you next time. Thank you for checking out the F1 Funcast. I am James. You have a good day.